God, you are to be praised, that we worship you, because you are worthy. And I ask, God, that this morning, that you would give us a sense of your worth, O Lord. At the same time, we thank you, Lord, that you are a God that desires to reconcile us back to you, to heal this relationship between us and you. So, Lord, I pray that you would help us to just come before you humbly, seeking forgiveness for our sins. At this time, I want to invite you into a time of confession. I invite you to a time where you come before the Lord, just bringing to him the sins of this past week, or even this morning. So just spend a minute or so before the Lord in silence, just asking for forgiveness, but also knowing the fact that our God is faithful to forgive us our sins. God, we are people who are broken, people who are tainted by sin. And it's because of sin that we are unable to freely come before you, oh God. It breaks this relationship that we have with you. But we thank you, God, that through Jesus, we are able to come before the throne of God freely in prayer like this, with full assurance that you are a God that listens to us, that our prayers do not fall on deaf ears, that our confession doesn't wisp into the wind. But the God who loves us hears it and is more than willing to provide forgiveness. So God, I pray that you continue to develop a habit in our lives of confession and repentance, to turn away from the old self and to turn and embrace the new self that we have in you, oh God. Lord, this morning I want to, we pray just for this missions month. I thank you, Lord, for all the ways that our church gets involved with your kingdom work here on earth. And I pray, God, that this month that you would be challenging each one of us to evaluate our lives and see how we can join you in the work that you're doing. I pray, Lord, that through the missions conference and all the different workshops and even the messages, God, that you would move, convict, and shake us, oh God, and help us to move in a manner that is ever more aligned with your mission here on earth. We pray also, Lord, continuously for the current pandemic. Lord, we thank you for the progress that has been made, especially in our state here, that things aren't being stretched like crazy right now. But Lord, there are places, even within our own country, in other states, where the situation is not very good, where healthcare workers are getting stretched so thin. Lord, we lift these people up before you. We ask, Lord, that you would empower them. We ask them you give them strength, give them rest, and give them peace as well. I mean, you only can imagine the stresses and seeing so many patients day after day, resources getting stretched thin. Lord, it is in these times especially where we ask for your power and for you, Lord, to bring a resolution. We do pray just for the continuous efforts for the pandemic around the world as well. Countries that don't have a vaccine are still drowning with no solution in sight. Lord, we pray that aid would be sent to these places too. We pray, Lord, that you would even use your people to be a blessing, to show love to these places as well, oh God. You're the God who is powerful. You're a God that who is mighty. You're the God who is ultimately in control. So we put our trust solely on you, oh God. We thank you. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Please remain standing for today's scripture reading. Today's scripture reading comes from Isaiah 52, and we're only looking at verse 7 today. Isaiah 52, verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. This is the reading of God's word. Please be seated. Friends, brothers and sisters, welcome. Good morning. So glad to see you. See everybody here in chapel this morning, even with the little dreariness outside. We're so glad you're able to join us. And if you're watching from home, welcome as well. Glad you're able to join us as well. I want to first thank you for all your prayers and support these past few weeks for my broken leg. As you can see, I'm still not able to walk. But this process since August has felt like forever, honestly, at times. But we're getting there. I start physical therapy this week. So the hope is that I'm able to half walk by the end of this month, hopefully. And that'll be the end by the end of missions month. So hopefully we'll see that happen. But again, thank you so much for your continuous support and prayers. Today I want to begin by actually talking about swimming. Obviously, we're past the typical months of swimming, like swimming weather. You're not going to be swimming in like today's weather, especially. But Samantha and I were pretty devoted viewers of like Olympic swimming like a few months ago. And if you know how to swim, you might have learned like one of three strokes, right? The breaststroke, freestyle, backstroke, or maybe you're an expert in the fourth stroke, doggy paddle. But I remember when I was learning, one of the first things that you had to learn was how to like float in the water. Because if you couldn't properly float, you probably couldn't really do the other things, the other strokes. And it's such a, I remember like when I was a kid doing this, it was a really interesting feeling because you're literally like suspended in the water. And it's kind of strange because obviously you can't do that like on land. Like if you try to float on land, you would just naturally fall. You can't just lie down in the air and float. But why is that the case? I mean, if you took any science in school, you would know like, well, if you try to float in the air, gravity will naturally make you fall. Straightforward, pretty straightforward. So sometimes in the water, when you're floating, it actually kind of feels like you're defying gravity in some ways. Suspended on the water, it feels like you're defying gravity. But we know that even when you're floating on the water, gravity is still acting on us. That even when we don't necessarily feel like gravity is working, it's still the case. When we feel like we're defying gravity by floating on the water, gravity has not stopped working. Whether we realize it or not, it is still working. Whether we feel it or not, gravity is still working. This morning, we're continuing our October theme of missions. And what I'm highlighting about this gravity actually applies to an idea in Scripture that is actually pretty crucial to missions. And that is the reign of God. The reign of God. It is something that exists, that is present, whether we realize it or not. And today, I hope to convey this idea that whether that this reign of God is a key motivator for us when it comes to missions. The reign of God. But first, with the reign of God, we need to address this idea of reign. Like, what is reign? This word, this topic is not something we typically talk about or use today. It's not in our normal vernacular. You know, we don't have kings or queens in this country. We often associate that with reign, but maybe you've seen shows on TV. I'm not sure, like when I flip through Netflix, there's so many shows about kings, queens, kingdoms, and stuff like that. So maybe you have an idea there, or maybe through history you've learned about like different reigns throughout history. So maybe different images come to mind. We could take the dictionary definition. You know, dictionary definition tells us that reign is a royal authority or dominion or influence of one resembling a monarch. These fancy words, I guess that's kind of helpful for us. But reign deals with authority. You know, reign deals with who has power to rule. And whoever is reigning has a degree of control over the land or the group. And that's pretty clear. It doesn't necessarily have to be like a formal kingdom with crowns and servants and a throne necessarily, right? But the person who reigns lays down the expectations and rules. And naturally, this power can be wielded for good or bad. Good or bad. It can be used to build up the land or destroy it. It can be used to promote peace, promote violence. It can be used selflessly, you know, in benefiting people, the people, like feeding the poor, or selfishly, like forcing people to play children's games for personal entertainment. But we all experience reign in some shape or form. This can be politically, right? When it comes to laws and rules, they're set up by officials that we are to follow. If you drove here, you had to follow some rules, hopefully, as you're driving here. Or even more locally, whether it be a school or work, you know, different CEOs, different bosses or professors determine expectations for what you do at school or work. But what's interesting in these cases, right, with government or school or work, whatever, is that in order for them to reign, there has to be acknowledgement of that reign by someone else. In order for them to reign, there has to be acknowledgement of that reign by someone else. No one can reign in a vacuum. So, for example, right, if I walked in here and came up here and declared myself king of New Jersey, okay, I just declared myself king of New Jersey, what would happen? What would happen? Well, probably Pastor James would come up and gently kick me out of the chapel, maybe, right? But you would probably think I was ridiculous. You would think I was ridiculous because, like, I have no followers. I just declared myself king. I have no followers. I have no legitimacy. I mean, if I had one follower, then I would have a reign, right? I would be reigning over one person, but it would be a very tiny, insignificant one at best. I have no reign because no one acknowledges my reign. And that's what we see on this earth, that for a human person to reign, someone has to acknowledge it. When we encounter the reign of God, we find something different. Many verses talk about God's reign or his kingdom. There's a bunch of verses on the screen. One of them is actually the call to worship from this morning, actually, Psalm 93. These verses tell us that God's reign over the world and in this universe is something that is true, that something has been fully established for all eternity. That means that God's reign is not dependent on acknowledgement. His authority and rule is objectively true, just like gravity. Even if no person acknowledged God's reign, he would still be on the throne. Nothing can change that. Nothing can remove him from the throne. And this remains true today in 2021. The reality is that right now, God reigns. He is the one that still determines how the world should be and determines the expectations of this world. That even if you don't actively think about it on a day-to-day basis, even if everyone in the world turned away, even if there was no one in the world, God would still reign. This is the magnitude and the weight of the reign of God in our universe. Now, why is this relevant to missions? How is this related to missions, right? Like, where does this reign of God fit in? Now, let's go back to today's passage, right? So today's passage. Here in Isaiah, we're in the midst of a series of prophecies. In this area of scripture, we find a few prophecies like pointing directly to Jesus, like Isaiah 53. But our focus today, like I said, is in verse 7. And we find in verse 7 this call for Israel. Okay, so how does this, let's keep in mind, how does this relate to missions? It reads, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who bring the good news." Stop. If we're talking about missions, can't I just stop there? Doesn't it make sense to stop there? I mean, that one phrase that I mentioned talks about bringing the good news. Is that not what missions is about? Even when we take this verse or that phrase, right, the word good news there, like when you bring it into like the Greek in the New Testament language, it's like the equivalent of the word gospel. So can't we just stop there? How beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of him who brings the gospel? Can't we just stop there? Like even Paul quotes it in Romans 10:15. In Romans 10:15, it says, "And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written," and here's the quote, "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." So can't we stop there? It's missions. Isn't that enough? This is where we need to be careful. Because especially when we come to Romans 10, we can really get focused on that one line, that one phrase. But when Paul is quoting Isaiah here, he has a greater context in mind. And his Jewish readers would know that too, being familiar with the Old Testament. Look, Paul isn't just like pulling these few words to make a point. That as he quotes this, for a listener, Paul is triggering the greater context. So as much as it seems to make sense that when we talk about missions, we just stop at those words and stop at bringing the good news, we have to take the entire verse. And I would actually argue that we need to take a deeper look at the entire prophecy section here in Isaiah. But because of time, we can't do that this morning. But focusing on verse 7 here, let's get a real focus on verse 7, we'll see something significant when it comes to missions. So again, let's read this. Isaiah 52:7. "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns." Just a quick clarification here. The word "publishes" in this verse can be translated as "proclaims." And I think that's a better translation for us in understanding what the verse is talking about. Remember, this verse is a call for God's people. It's a call for God's people. And when we look at this passage, we see that this call is more than just proclaiming the good news. It deals, we see, with bringing peace, bringing happiness or good tidings, and bringing salvation. And I would argue that the last part about the reign of God or his kingdom is the essence of mission. That the reign of God and his kingdom is the essence of missions. Because when God reigns, things like peace, happiness, salvation follow closely behind it. Things like peace, happiness, salvation follow closely behind it. You see, the reign of God is this very like overarching idea in the Bible. And again, I wish I had time to just like bring us through more examples of this throughout scripture, but that's probably better done in like a more Sunday school setting. But this call for Israel is the same for us regarding the reign of God, that we are called to alert people that God reigns. Like our mission is to alert people that God reigns. Alerting people that God reigns. Now, why is this alerting important? Why does the reign of God even matter? Why? It's because the God who reigns actually cares about his creation and the people he has created. He cares about the earth and humanity. Even though the world has been broken and tainted due to sin and our mistakes, God is looking to make things right again. He is not distant, has not abandoned humanity. He did not establish his reign on the universe and like when things got messed up, he's like, okay, bye guys, forget about you. He is looking to restore order again. He's looking for partners to bring order back from the disorder. He's looking for partners to bring renewal to this world. He's looking for partners who want to like fully realize God's reign in the universe. Because I'm sure, like right now, if you look out into the world, or even in your own life, there are things that are broken. There are things that you look at as like, this is not how it should be. It's not always marked by peace, love, mercy, as God intended it to be. Things are broken. But God desires for renewal in these areas. He desires for us to partner with him in this effort. That God intimately cares what is happening here on earth. He intimately cares what's happening in your life and in my life. And we see that especially displayed in the humanity of Jesus. If God abandoned humanity and didn't care about his reign on earth, there is no reason for Jesus to physically come down. There's no reason for him to come down. God could have simply just plucked his followers off the earth and taken them elsewhere and just left, just take them and leave the rest behind. But Jesus chooses to walk among us. He chooses to take on flesh. He chooses to enter into the disorder. Not only that, but Jesus becomes this bridge for humanity. He becomes this bridge between the proper order of God as he intended and the disorder that we experience. Jesus becomes this bridge. And we see that like when we look at his life, right? When Jesus is on this earth, he demonstrates this over and over again. He brings healing to the sick. He gives love and gives like he sees those who are outcasted. He brings salvation to people. Jesus coming down is God intimately caring about what's going on here on earth. To emphasize this further, we read in Revelation 21 about what will happen in the future. So in Revelations, it is Apostle John recording about this new heaven and this new earth, this vision that he has. And he writes in verse 3, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God." You read that, it's interesting, right? Because we sometimes think of salvation as actually God like plucking us out of this broken world. We sometimes think of it that way, that he saves us and let's just go to heaven with him. It's as if like we were saved from a burning building and God was this mighty mighty firefighter and we just leave that burning building behind. But in scripture, we see a lot of passages like Revelation 21 where it talks of God dwelling with man, dwelling where we are, coming to us, God wanting to be with man. God incarnating himself through Jesus, choosing to be with man. The dwelling place of God is with man. God comes to dwell with man. God, the God who reigns, actually wants to be with the people that he reigns over, even though the people are broken and rebellious. In the same chapter in Revelation 21, we also see what God wants in his reign. And this is really significant here, that we see God's expectation of this dwelling, that he promises this new Jerusalem, a dwelling place for him and his people. It is the place where his reign is fully realized, no longer tainted by sin or brokenness. It is a place where there's no death, no mourning, no suffering, no crying, and no pain. It is a place where things are whole, where justice reigns, where love and mercy abound. Let me say that to you again, that this place that God promises, where his reign is in full power, is a place where there's no death, no mourning, no suffering, no crying, no pain. A place where things are whole, where justice reigns, where love and mercy abound. As Christians, this is a hope that we can look forward to. This is a promise given to us. Again, you just look outside or look in your life and see how your life is like full of death, mourning, suffering, crying, pain, where things are not whole, where justice doesn't reign, where love and mercy do not abound. This is the promise that God has for us. What's going to come? He's going to bring this to his people. But this idea, this New Jerusalem, is also a motivator for all things missions. Think of it like a movie trailer, right? A movie trailer. So whether you see a movie trailer on TV or before a YouTube video or for the first 15 minutes of your movie's start time, these trailers, what are they meant to do? Trailers like what, these like short version, and like they give you a taste of the movie coming out in the future. And trailers typically highlight points of a movie, like attractive points of a movie, whether it be like a funny moment or a dramatic scene or maybe a romantic one, depending on the movie. They're meant to get you interested in actually watching the movie in the future. And this is how we can view missions work. That we want people to know about the reign of God and all the good things that come with it. We want people to know about this new Jerusalem where things will be whole, where the reign of God is fully realized. If this is the movie that we want people to see, you know, our job as the church is to be the trailer for people so that they can taste what this restoration, justice, love, and mercy is really like. We're meant to help people get a taste of this. How do we do this? How do we be this trailer? Like, how do we help people get a taste of what is to come? How do we alert people that God reigns? Well, two ways I want to highlight, right, is through proclaiming and demonstrating the reign of God. Proclaiming and demonstrating the reign of God in the here and now. Proclaiming and demonstrating the reign of God. And I'm very intentional this morning to mention both proclaiming and demonstrating. The two have to come hand in hand when it comes to the work of missions. Now, too often, we reduce missions to the proclamation portion, you know, the evangelism part, telling people about the gospel. The work of justice or social action is seen as something secondary or even a distraction to the message. But if we reduce missions to just the proclaiming portion, then it reduces the church to essentially a recruitment organization that we're just trying to get people on our team, trying to get people to join our club, right? And there's no way God's just trying to do that when talking about his kingdom. Now, don't get me wrong. Of course, it's true that if we only did social action without proclamation, that would be an issue. If we only did social action, then we would essentially become a humanitarian group, right? But the opposite is just as bad. The opposite is just as bad. If we overfill this chapel, both the balcony and down here, if we overfill this chapel with people who believe in Jesus, but as soon as we go out those doors, we return to communities that are full of people starving, struggling, and suffering from injustices, have we done our job? Have we actually done anything to proclaim or demonstrate the reign of God? Are we helping people get a taste of that future movie? Friends, we need to look at how we can partner with God in alerting the world of his reign. That if we actually recognize that his reign, that his reign in his universe is absolute, and if we believe that this future world, this new Jerusalem to come, is really going to be of peace, justice, love, and mercy, then this should be something that we should be excited to show other people. Especially as we, again, contrast with the world now. Now, if we really believe that the New Jerusalem is going to be of peace, justice, love, and mercy, we should be excited to share with people. Like, are we taking part in giving people a taste? How can I be alerting the people around me? How can I be alerting the people around me? And during this missions month, it's really a good time for us to evaluate our own involvement. Our church has a bunch of different ways for us to formally get involved, you know, in both proclaiming and demonstrating. We have a lot of different ministries that people are organizing that you're more than able and more than allowed to join and serve alongside other brilliant sisters. And I would honestly like encourage you to take time to try some of them out. Just like give them a try. Like join this effort that some of our brothers and sisters, with our brothers and sisters, to alert people of the reign of God. But I also want to encourage us to think of how we get involved in our day-to-day. At work, at schools, in our neighborhoods, or just generally with the people that we see. The alerting of the reign of God is not something reserved for select Christians, nor is it something just reserved for specific times or specific seasons. And I say that specifically because sometimes, like when we talk about missions, well, STM season, short-term mission season in our church is summertime, so missions is summer season. But fall, winter, spring is school season. No. The alerting of the reign of God is something that is not reserved for a specific time. It is something that we take part in and partner with God in now. As Christians, we are partners with God in this effort. We are partners with God in this effort. How can I demonstrate and proclaim the reign of God this week? Even this week. How? How can I help the people around me get a taste of justice, peace, love, and mercy that comes with God's reign? How can I alert the people around me of the reign of God? May this be a challenge for us this morning. May this be a challenge for us this morning. And may we partner with our God, partner with him in declaring his reign to this world for all eternity. Would you pray with me? Lord, I ask that you would show us. You would show us right now places and people in our lives that you want us to show an alert of your reign. That would names or even faces just come to our minds, oh God, show us. People in our classes, people at school or work, dorm mates, neighbors, friends or family members. Show us who, Lord, that you want us to work with you to alert of your reign. I also want to challenge you this morning to also ask God to show you if there's maybe a ministry that's already existing here at this church that's missions related that maybe the Holy Spirit's like urging you and nudging you to, the, you know, just give that a try. Give it a try. Yes, it'll take a sacrifice of time, maybe a Saturday morning or so. But maybe the Lord is showing you that He wants you to partner with Him in some area, some ministry that our church is doing. Almighty God, we hold on to and declare this morning and affirm that You are the God who reigns. That from the beginning of time to the end of time and into all eternity, God, You reign. That nothing can change that. And you do not reign like a heavy hand. But You are a God that in Your reign bring justice, love, peace, and mercy. That this is a promise that we can hold on to, but this is also something that we want to tell the world and show the world that there is something greater to come, that there is something better, that when God, that Your reign is fully realized. So I pray this morning, first and foremost, You would help us to embrace that reality. That it wouldn't just be some churchy idea that we just affirm, but it would be something that resonates deeply in our soul. It's something that would motivate us to move out and to alert people to proclaim and demonstrate Your reign to this world, oh God. Aid us, oh God. We are in always desperate need of Your help. So would You help us, God, to courageously move forward in faith, even this week, oh God. Thank You, Lord. We worship You and pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.